Well, good morning. So we continue our series, Life's Big Questions. And I'd like to start, though, with this verse from Revelation, if I could, just because it seemed to hit me this morning. And here's what it says. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Great verses, right? Because it talks about the power of our God. And you know, I've told you my story, that my story started in my life where I did not believe in the power of God. I did not believe in God at all, as I've told you. And up until I was 23, I actually denied who Jesus was and thought people were crazy who believed in God. Yeah, I thought it was a crutch. I thought it was something that was just a myth. And it was something that just made people feel better. But see, the question that was always in my mind was the one that we're facing today on May 12th, which is there a God? And over the next few weeks, we're going to be going through and answering all the questions that you see up above here. And today, as you came into worship, you should have received a card in your bulletin. And this is one you can keep for yourself, or I encourage you to give it to a neighbor or a friend who might be struggling with belief in God so that they can know what questions we're answering, and maybe they can come and join us during these times. Also, you'll notice on the bottom that there's going to be three Ask the Pastor sort of discussion sessions that are going to be happening. The first one is next weekend, actually, and then it's on June 2nd and June 9th as well. That'll take place right after service in the fellowship hall. So we encourage you to come and join us. If you have a question, you can ask me, and I'll see if I can answer it. I may not be able to, okay, but we'll try. But we're also going to discuss the topic for that day as well. But today we're talking about, is there a God? And when I didn't believe, I would tell everyone that I didn't believe. But you know, deep down, if I was honest with myself, I had this question in my mind. Is there a God? I had this question whether truly, even though I said no, there was this thing that was nagging in the back of my mind, are these people right? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all have questions. We probably all at times have said to ourselves, is there truly a God? And if we're honest with ourselves, especially those of us who maybe had trouble with faith or right now may be questioning and not believing as well, we should be honest and say that there are times when we actually concluded that we don't believe, but yet still had that question in our mind. Am I right? And is there a God? You know, I had somebody who said to me recently, you know, the way that you talk to people about this is you actually say, you know, okay, so if you're right and there's not a God, then I as a believer have lost nothing. But if I'm right and there is a God and you say there's not, then you've lost everything. See, that's simplistic in thought. And although it may be true, it doesn't really help people understand that there truly is a God. I mean, children, I think, actually grasp this a little bit easier than us. The childlike faith that we hear in Scripture, sometimes it's easier for children just to believe. And in fact, I've got some letters that children wrote to God, and one said this, Dear God, I read the Bible. What does beget mean? Because nobody will tell me. You know, and that's true, right? Most people don't know what that means. Or maybe it's the next one that someone wrote, which is, God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world, for there are only four people in our family, and I can never do it. That was written by a child named Frank. Not Frank in the back. Frank, okay? Next was, Dear God, I wish there was so much, or there was no such thing as sin. I wish there was no such thing as war. Amen, right? The wisdom of children are amazing at times. And then one written by Larry, and not Larry Davis, by the way, is, Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. See, we can make light of this and we can say this is great, right? The children somehow just automatically believe God and they write letters to God, and maybe in your own way you've written letters to God through your prayers or whatever it is that you say, and you ask God these questions and you say, God, I am struggling right now, I have a little bit of doubt, and that's okay. See, the good news is that God is not intimidated by our questions. And neither are we here at Our Saviors. We are not intimidated by your questions. We want the questions to be asked. And the reason I say that so strongly is because when I was struggling with faith, when I was struggling to believe at 22 years old or 21 years old and 23 years old, I felt there was nowhere I could go to get questions answered. I could not find a church or a pastor that I felt was normal where I could ask the questions I needed to ask until I met the pastor at my wife's church, who was a normal guy. And I was able to ask the questions I needed to ask. And he didn't treat me as if that was a stupid question. You see, it's important for us to ask questions. And it's important for us to be able to hear in this environment as a family of believers and those who may have questions or even those who maybe don't believe, to be able to ask those questions without anybody feeling like there's any judgment at all. Because that's how we grow. And that's how the Spirit works as well. See, many of us probably have struggled from time to time. I can tell you that the moment my dad passed away, I struggled with faith more than ever. I had a lot of questions. And for about 3 days, I was not a very good Christian. But you know what? I was able to work through it by asking God questions in prayer and throwing to him everything that was on my heart at the time, no matter how bad it seemed like it was. But see, the great thing about this is that when we do that, we actually experience God's presence in our lives when we ask those questions. And there are so many indicators in the world of God being true and real. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4 says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun." I mean, this points to the fact that the heavens and everything around us declares the glory of God. And if we open our eyes and open our hearts, we can actually understand and see the glory of God that is all around us. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says this: "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." See, if we just look around at creation all around us, if we look around and see what is just right before our eyes, it begins to tell us that there is something that is greater than us here in this place. That's what I began to start to realize, is that there is something greater than me, something greater out there than just me, and there is something that is more important than just me. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I think about the galaxy and how that's all knit together, I'm amazed at how it's put together. It is amazing when you get away from the city and all of the lights. And by the way, that's why Palm Springs doesn't have streetlights. You know this, why? So that people can actually look up and see the stars. That when you look at the stars and the moon and you see the glory of that, you know it couldn't just happen by happenstance. that there is some order to that creation. From that huge atmosphere of the galaxy, we can actually go right down to the little finest piece of DNA. And how that is such an amazing piece of work. How from the tiniest strand in us is created human beings and created children. As I've said, if you've ever seen the birth of a child, I don't know how you can say there is not a God. It's an amazing thing. And when you look at the body and how it's created and how it works and functions so well, even though we have things that happen, bad knees and everything else, right? The body still functions, and it's an amazing piece of work that God has knit together to be this functioning thing that is just an amazing, amazing thing. And when you look at the world that we live in and the where he has placed us in the solar system, it's amazing as well because we are the perfect distance away from the sun. We are actually have the perfect amount of gravity for us to be able to live here as well. And we have the perfect amount of oxygen and everything else in the makeup of this world to sustain our lives in this place. And when you look at all of that, I think it's very hard to look at nature that's around us and say God does not exist. Because there's so much that points to something that is much larger, that has created all of this for us. And the fine-tuning of this universe is just amazing, especially when we get down to our lives in this world. And to say there is no God is to deny that all of that has someone who created it. It's to say that it's all happenstance. And I have a hard time believing that. We can actually go even deeper than the things that we see. I mean, if we look at Romans chapter 2, we read these words. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the works of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. See, this verse gets at the point that even before the law was given to us in the Ten Commandments, it was written on our hearts by God. I mean, you can look and it's been proven that even tribes that have never heard the word of God and never seen the law, they actually have some of the same rules for their tribe and their community as the law lays out. Things like you don't kill one another. You don't steal people's possessions. You don't have sex with someone's partner in adultery. Those are things that seem to be given and written on people's hearts even before they read the law or see the law. The fact that we have consciences that tell us what's right and wrong, those are there. And even children know a lot of this without being taught. See, there's something that is larger that has written this in our lives and in our hearts. And Dostoevsky also believed this as well. If God does not exist, everything is permitted. If God does not exist, well, then it doesn't matter what we do because there is no law, there is no morality, there is nothing. In other words, what he's saying is that the fact that we have this innate sense in us of what is right and wrong, it's an indicator of God because it instills in us the sort of morality in us as well. And most people, no matter how far they are into sin, they realize that that's not the place they should be. C.S. Lewis also suggested this. Creatures are not born with desire unless satisfaction for these desires exist. A baby feels hunger, well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim, well, there is such a thing as water. Man feels sexual desire, and there's such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience is this in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. See, what he's saying is that we were made in a way that has a plan for it. That our desires are filled by what God has placed in this world. And therefore, there is a plan that is larger and greater than us. And if you look at the world all around us, 80 to 85% is a key number. Now, you're probably asking, okay, Pastor, what's the key number? Well, the evidence is so convincing all around the world. As we look around at what's around us and what we see, the evidence is so convincing that 80 to 85% of people believe in God. Even those who don't consider themselves religious are among them. But even more are living as if God exists some way or another. They may be following the wrong God. They may be following something that is not the God that we believe in, but 80 to 85% of the people on this earth believe there is something greater than them. They may not know exactly what that is. There was a pastor and a gentleman who wrote some great books called Tozer, and he says this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." I believe that that's true. I mean, do you live your life truly believing that God exists? I mean, if you truly believe that that's true, do you believe that He cares for you, that He has a plan for you? I mean, if that was the case, what would change in your life, in your family, in your job? In your neighborhood, in the city, what would change? Imagine if all of us lived as if God truly did exist and was always there with us. I mean, would that be enough to change this community and this world? I believe it would. And so when we think about God as He suggests here, what is the most important thing is what comes into your mind. And is that saying, yes, I believe in Jesus and He is truly God? Or do you doubt and believe there's something else? See, the bottom line is this. Evidence of God comes from creation. It comes from an innate morality, from intelligence, and from love. And once we establish there must be God or something greater than us, then we are ready to discover who God truly and really is. And I will tell you who that is. That God is the God of the Bible. It is the God of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ Himself. The one who is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one who was born into this world for you and for me. See, Scripture points to this as well. Isaiah chapter 7, 14 says this, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will be called Emmanuel." And the key thing there is, what does the word Emmanuel mean? God with us. And so Jesus was sent into this world to be with us. Not just a man, but truly God. See, Jesus, He is God. John 14 says this, that the Word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw His glory and the glory which He received as the Father's only Son. See, Jesus was in this world. He was sent God Himself into this world for us, to live with us and for us to see Him and experience Him so we could truly know who God is. John 8 says this, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone Him, but Jesus hid Himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. I mean, this is a powerful double claim by Jesus here. First, what is he saying? He's saying that he pre-existed his human birth and was actually alive and present as God before Abraham. And second, that his title was I Am. I Am was a title that was used for God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses was there before him and he said, I Am. See, Jesus is saying, I am God. And we truly know that he was. And he is. John chapter 10 says this, I and the Father are one. Again, Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for the blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. See, all of Scripture points to Jesus as not just a man, but truly as God himself, the Son of God, a person of the Trinity. He was 100% man, and yes, 100% God, all at the same time, here on earth for us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so today, we say, is there a God? We say, yes, there is, and that God is truly Jesus Christ. Even Thomas had some questions about this. He doubted as well. Doubting Thomas is the nickname we gave him. And here we read in John chapter 20 these words, that Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, do you believe because you see me? How happy of those who, without seeing me, believe. See, it's amazing because the Spirit works in us to truly be able to confess faith in Jesus Christ. And even Thomas, when he doubted, Jesus came to him and said, look at the marks on my hand, stick your hand in my side and see that I am truly the Lord Jesus, risen from the grave. And Jesus is saying, just because you don't see me, you can still believe in me because my Spirit works in this world today. And then we know the gospel from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It reads, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, Paul says, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. See, this has all been told to us in the Scriptures and predicted as well. And the important thing to pull out of this as well is the word Christ there. That's not Jesus' last name. Christ is actually a key phrase. It means the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was sent by God to actually do the work that Jesus did. And he is saying here that he is God that was sent to actually take upon himself all of the sins for us so that we could be freed and we could be forgiven. And then he rose again on the third day, showing that he had defeated sin, death, and the devil so that he could actually show to us as well that we have eternal life with him. And there is only one way that he could rise from the dead. And that is because he was God. God himself. See, that's the true gospel that we celebrate. That's the gospel that he's given to us. That's the gospel that we know when we say we believe in Jesus because we believe he is true God. And Jesus is the one and only true God. There is no other. And so today, as we say, is there a God? We answer, yes. There is one true God, and that is Jesus, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And today and in this church, we confess that God. We don't confuse it with anything else in this world. We only are clear that we worship the one true God, Jesus Christ, the one that is shown to us in Scripture, the one that we never change Scripture from either because we believe it's inerrant, and it's something we hold true. And this is the word that we will proclaim here at our Savior's continually, is that Jesus is Lord. And so today, if you question whether truly Jesus is God, if you have questions or concerns or doubts, we encourage you to come and ask one of our elders or someone you're comfortable with here, or come and ask me and talk to me. Because I encourage you to get your questions answered so that you can truly trust in who Jesus is and know him on a personal level and also believe that he is your Lord and Savior. And so today, during our closing songs, if there is doubt in your mind, come forward and ask God to take those doubts away. If during our closing song, come forward if you have not believed before, and today you say, yes, I believe, come forward and pray, Jesus, I believe you today. Please receive me as your child. And take that time today to do that. And if there's just something that is burdening you today, or you just want to praise God for your mother, come forward to the rail and pray to the one true God, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this message that, Lord, we see all around us your presence. We see how, Lord, you have created things not just out of happenstance, but, Lord, you have created it for a purpose for us. And that, Lord, truly you exist. That if we let our pride sort of get out of the way, and we truly understand that we need you, that, Lord, that's when we can truly believe. So, Lord, help us to understand that today. Push pride away. Push self-reliance away. And let us today say, Lord, we just come to you because I know I need you today. And let us believe in you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.